So thank y'all again for being such a generous church. We're going to continue today in the book of Daniel. We've been working on a series called Pressure, Under Pressure. And we've talked about all kinds of different pressure over the last few weeks, pressure to confront, pressure to conform. But today, I think of all the messages, this is the one that God's really, he told me to preach it to myself. And y'all are just lucky that you get to listen in on a sermon that God kind of gave to as a blessing to me, or just for me to think about. And it's this thought of, what do you do when pressure just keeps on coming and keeps on coming and keeps on coming? And you get over one pressure and you go, oh, you know, okay, that's it. I'm free of that now. I can just do whatever I need to do. Thank you, God, for bringing me through that. And then within a week, here comes something else. And maybe these words will come to you. God, I don't know if I can handle one more thing. You ever been under that kind of pressure? That pressure where you just kind of go, God, I'm done. That's all I've got. I've used up every bit of energy I've got. And you're at the point of all you have is God. That kind of pressure. Maybe you've said this before. I'm tired. I'm just tired. We're going to look today at a situation in Daniel's life where he was tired. And we're going to see what God literally said to Daniel. And we'll see if that applies to our life. So we're in Daniel chapter 10. Just to catch up, everybody, especially if you weren't here last week, we've been talking about Daniel. If you don't know, you know, the basic of the story of Daniel, Daniel was living with his family. He was a very smart young man. He was kind of on one of those fast tracks to be a leader in his nation. When all of a sudden, another nation came into Israel, God allowed it, the Babylonians, to come in to ransack the temple, to ransack the nation, and then they captured these young men, these young men that are kind of, who is going to be the future of Israel's leadership, and they took him into captivity. In our first story that we had talked about, Daniel's like 15 years old, 15, 16. And he's in the king's palace, and there's this whole thing about food, and we see Daniel committing in his heart that he's going to serve God, even though he has been traumatically ripped from his family, ripped from his support system, and living in another country now. And we see how God just blessed that. The story just keeps progressing, and Daniel becomes a very esteemed person in the nation because of how God blessed him and how he stands up for what is right, but he stays in captivity. In fact, in our last time we looked, another kingdom has actually come in from Persia and defeated the Babylonians. And Daniel is still in captivity, only now he's reporting to a whole new king. By this time, Daniel is 70. He's been in Babylonian territory, now Persian territory, for 60 years. He might even be late 70s. That's when we hit the story of Daniel in the lion's den. He wasn't a young guy at that time. He was a guy that had been around. And some of those ensuing chapters, or the chapters, pre-chapters of that, we see all kinds of different stress points where Daniel is just put to the test time after time after time. And he's doing what God wants him to do. But here he is, Daniel in the lion's den, and they say, you can't pray to anybody, remember that, except for Darius the asparagus, if you're a VeggieTale fan. He said, you can't pray to anybody except Darius. And Daniel says, no. He said, I serve God. I've made that predecision in my heart. And he said, I'm just going to keep on praying three times a day. And it turns out some guys were actually trying to to lie about him, you know, trying to get him in trouble. And we just saw him just stand up for God and get thrown in a lion's den. We talked about last week, although we know the end of the story, he didn't know the end of the story. He didn't know what the outcome would be. He just said, I'm going to do what God says, and I'm going to trust God with the outcome. We're now 3 years after that. 3 years later, Daniel's life has been this up and down, serving God, and then getting, you know, some other thing going, and serving God, and then somebody attacking him, serving God, and then getting thrown in a lion's den. And now he's in his early 80s, probably at this time. And in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who is also called Belshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war that was coming. There was a great war coming. The understanding of this message came to him in a vision. In verse 2, at that time, Daniel mourned for 3 weeks. This vision that he got, a little bit later in the chapter, he goes back and he's telling how he felt at this time. You don't have to turn there, but if you could look over on the other page, in verse number 16, he's describing how he was when he got that vision. He said, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord. I feel weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. That's where Daniel said he was when he got that vision. He said, I'm overwhelmed. He said, I'm so tired. God, I can hardly breathe. You can picture this, right? He's 80 years old. He's been ripped from his family. He's had to stand up and possibly be killed as a 16-year-old for not following the king's orders. He's seen his friends be thrown into a fiery furnace. He's had to go up to a king and tell him that the writing on the wall meant that he was going to die that night. He told another king that he was going to go insane for 7 years. Any of those things he could have died for. And just a few years ago, he got thrown in a lion's den for praying to God. And you would think that he would go, God, I've served you. I'm now in my 80s. It's just time to rest. And all of a sudden, this vision comes to him. And he cries out to God, I'm tired. It says what he decided to do in verse 4 is on the, in verse number 2, it says, at that time I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lip, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. So he went on a fast from fine food, from wine, and from taking a bath. Okay? So if you take a fast, I really suggest the fine food and the wine, but please take a bath. Please, personal. But for some, yeah, this is how he just said, I'm gonna pull close to God. He said, we talk about Daniel fast, you know, where you just eat vegetables and drink water. He said, that's what I'm going to do for 21 days. I'm going to seek God, right? He said, I'm in such anguish. The only thing I have left is to seek God. You know, I try to apply that to me. And I go, am I ever in that position where really all I have left, all I got in the tank, is to seek God? And I've always wondered, if I could just talk to God for a few minutes, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? You know, when we're in one of those positions, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had a telephone, right? That you could just call God. Hey, God, let me tell you, I'm completely done here. I'm out of it. You know, let me know, what do I need to do next? And to me, I just don't understand why God doesn't do that. You know, you would think God's got a plan. He likes to talk to us. He wants us involved in his plan. God, I wish there was a telephone that we could talk. What would it be like? What would it be like in your situation right now? Whatever wave is coming over you right now, whatever pressure that you're under right now, whatever it is where you look and go, God, at this point in my life, I really thought I would have everything together. My spiritual life would be great. My family life would be great. My financial life would be great. My medical life would be great. We did all this, but now here it comes again. Wouldn't it be great to talk to God and have Him physically talk back? And now, of course, we've got the Word of God, and we can go there, but you know, I'm lazy sometimes, right? And I would just love God to come. Well, amazingly, in this story, as Daniel is overwhelmed and exhausted and can't even breathe, is how he explained the pressure he was under. God does come and talk to him. What I want to do is just real quickly today look at three things that God said to Daniel that day. Verse 4, on the 24th day of the fourth month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris. He'd been fasting for 21 days, you know, this vegetable and water fast. Verse 5, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz. His face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and his legs, they gleamed of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Isn't that interesting? Now, I don't know who of the heavenly host came to see Daniel that day. My opinion, it's the pre-incarnate Jesus. You know, it's Jesus and we know that Jesus was there with God from the foundations of the earth. When God created, Jesus was with him. And we know at certain times as we look into scriptures, we see places where we think, you know, the Son of God is right there. And I don't know if this is one time. It doesn't say. I do know that this must be some kind of incredible angel if it's not Jesus, right? You know, just that description and that voice of the multitude and the eyes, with, you know, it just sounds like, you know, something, you know, but whatever it is, here's what we know, is that God sent that heavenly being to Daniel that day. In the middle of his pressure, it says, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Side point, it was personal. It was a personal visit. It was God saying, I know that you have an issue, Daniel. I think that's beautiful. He said, I was the only one that saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it. But such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and they hid themselves. You know, they didn't see it, but they knew something was going on. You know, that something was happening, and they said, we need to get out of there. And so it said, so I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. And then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. So, you know, he's just saying that, you know, I was at the very end of my rope, and this just kind of put me over the edge. And he said, there I am in front of this guy, just face down. And then here's what that heavenly being, here's what possibly Jesus, this is definitely what God wanted him to hear. The first thing it says, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and my knees. And he said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed. Now I want to stop right there. He could have just said, Daniel, right? He said, hey, Daniel, I got some news for you. You know, hey, Daniel. But as you get into this Hebrew word here that is translated highly esteemed is kemda. And what it means in many other places in the Bible is beautiful, choice, desirable, precious and valuable. In fact, the New Living Translation translates it like this: Daniel, you who are very precious to God. When you're so overwhelmed, when the waves keep coming, if God came and spoke to you, here is the first thing that he would say: you are precious to me. I love you. Now guys, that's something we learned from the time we're little bitty, right, in Sunday school. God loves you. In fact, unfortunately, so many times, we've heard it so many times, it becomes rote. It becomes just something, yeah, God loves me. Now let's get on, what's next? Can I get you to stop just for a second and ponder that thought that the creator of the universe would look you in the eyes and say, you are precious to me. You're beautiful. I've got some stories that I call my fundamental stories. Stories I've just picked up along the way. I share them with you all the time. You've probably heard me share this story. But it is just, when I was reading that and I was just trying to get through all the layers of church that I've got in my brain and get down to where I could say deeply, how can I sit and just think of God sending an angel of with this multiple voice and with these, you know, this incredible heavenly being and looking at me and saying, oh, you're a precious boy. This story came back to mind. It's the story of a guy you've probably heard of before if you've been in Christian circles for a long time and done Bible study. He's a Christian psychologist. I'm not going to get into Christian psychology right now. You know, there's some things where I just go, that doesn't make sense. Those seems like at times opposite kinds of words. But his name is Larry Crabb. And so many of Larry's books, you know, he went past Christian psychology and went into just beautiful grace later in his career. But he tells this story of him going to this conference one time. And he said there was this elderly gentleman there, one of the founders of Christian psychology. And he said he got time to spend with this older man in the same profession. At this time, you know, Larry's in his 30s, and he's talking with this guy, and they just hit it off. And so at this conference, they spent time together. They just bonded together. And he said, man, it was great. You know, I've got a new friend, a new mentor. He said the next conference he was at, he said this guy was there again. But he said, you know, it was this big conference, hundreds and hundreds of people, this large meeting room. Larry walks in the door, and across the meeting room, this older gentleman that had bonded with him not too long ago looks over and sees Larry Crabb coming in the door. And Larry said their eyes met, and he said the weirdest things just started happening. He said, this guy is standing there in a conversation, but he said, as soon as he saw me, this little old man started jumping up and down and clapping his hands. And he said, before he knew it, this man was making his way across the way to Larry, and he just got to me and said, I am so glad you're here. And Larry just went, well, okay, you know, that was strange. He said, over the years, he said, it became just something. He said, sometimes they were at the same conference, sometimes they weren't. But he said, every time they were, as soon as their eyes met, the little old man would start jumping and clapping his hands and making a beeline to Larry. Larry said, after a while, it became awkward. He said, there was part of him that was going, I kind of hope that guy's not there. Because everybody kind of looks weird when we see each other first time and he starts the clapping and hopping thing. And he said, you know, he would get past it and they would have a great time. But he said there was just that, all, you know, especially as Larry was becoming more and more of a famous speaker. It was just strange. But he tells this story. He said, there came a time in his career where he made some bad decisions. And he was suffering from the repercussions of those bad decisions he had made. And there was, you know, this backlash against him. And he said, I was just in a really dark place. And he said, I had a conference to go to. And he said, I was hurting. And he said, as I opened that door, he said, I remember praying, God, please let that man be here. I need somebody right now that loves me for who I am. I need somebody right now that doesn't care if I've messed up, that doesn't care if I've done the worst. I need someone right now that really loves me more than I even love myself. He said, he opened that door. There was that little old man, and their eyes met. And he beelined for him, and he said, we went and had lunch, and he said, I just poured out my heart to him. And he said, he just ministered to me in the gentlest, sweetest, kindest way possible. That's how God is for us. That's how God is. When he sees you at your worst, your worst day, when you've committed your worst sin, when you said that thing you wish you could have taken back, when you looked at something you shouldn't have looked at, when you've hurt somebody and said some words, when you've done, on your worst day, the Creator of the universe locks eyes with you. And beelines and looks you in the eyes and said, you are precious to me. And as a just God, he can do that because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Whatever pressure you're under right now, let me plant this seed in your mind, and you water it every day. You are precious to God. He loves you more than you love yourself. Start with that as the next wave comes. The angel comes to 80-year-old Daniel, who's going, I don't want another war, God. I don't know if I can take this. And he says, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. 21 days ago, you started praying. 21 days ago, you started fasting. 21 days ago, it started, and you haven't heard a peep from God. You ever been in that position? Where it's just coming on you, and you're coming on you, and you go, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to pray. And you go pray, and then it just comes harder. It just keeps on coming. And somewhere in your spirit, you go, can I trust God? Or is this just fate? I guess God's not going to do anything. I better do something. God's not going to come through for me. Those are the thoughts that happen. But here's what the angel said. He said, 21 days ago, your prayers were heard. And verse number 13, okay, I'm going to read something weird to you. So if you like weird stuff, here comes some weird stuff. It says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom, And as you look in here, that emphasis is the spiritual prince, the spirit prince of Persia kingdom resisted, but the prince of Persia's kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael the archangel, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And now I have to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. He said there was some spiritual warfare going on. There was that you. I was hearing you pray, and I said, you know, we got to go and we got to take care of Daniel. But there was this spiritual warfare that I entered into for you 21 days ago. It was happening. I was fighting for you for the last 21 days. But you didn't feel it. You felt the pressure. You didn't know what was going on. Side note here, there is spiritual warfare going on in pressure situations. There are. There is physical warfare going on. There is this world that we can see. But guys, there is a world that we can't see. And it's just as real. And so often, God is doing something that we just don't know. You may be in that position right now where you go, Blake, I've been praying and praying and nothing's happened. Here's a truth I want you to hear. It's what the angel wanted to tell Daniel that day. I hear your prayer and I am doing something. Hang on. I was at one of those wonderful retreats that I've had the pleasure of helping out with Rachel Vineyard. Someone dropped out that was supposed to be the pastor on that retreat. They called me last minute and kind of said, Blake, can you cover? And I said, sure. I said, you know, sign me up. And so I was out there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. There was this neat young lady there. She'd been through so much, right? She'd been through so much in her life. You know, physically, spiritually, sexually abused as a child. You know, survived through the most horrible circumstances. But in the last 10 years, God just turned her life around. And she's got a beautiful family now, and she has a ministry now. But this wave has come on her in the last couple of weeks. And she was there at this retreat. It just so happens it kind of coincided. And she's, you know, pondering, you know, just, God, you know, you brought me out of that, and I've done all this. Why have you left me now? Because that's what it feels like. She asked this question. Does it ever get any easier as a Christian? What do you say to that? You know, I could lie to her. Yeah, boy, I tell you what, my life's great. I just get up in the morning and God sends unicorns to my front yard and they eat out of the front, and I just go and pet them and it's just wonderful. And anytime I want something, I snap my fingers and pray about it, and it's there. And I could say that, but it's a lie. You know what I told her? I said, it doesn't get easier. But as you draw closer to God and you learn His character more, you get the tools you need to get through the next wave. And I said, I can guarantee whatever's happening to you right now, God's already working it. He's already preparing it. In these weekends, we take them from where they're at with their understanding of what they did when they committed an abortion. And through grace and scripture and prayer, we move them to a place where we can get them to understand that even in that moment, when they were part of killing their own unborn child, that God's grace just comes in. And that God looks at them today and says, you are precious to me. And we help them separate the sin of the abortion with the beauty of the child that God created in their womb. And by that end of the weekend, they've been able to separate that and actually, you know, come to this point where they're healed. Not from the sin. I mean, they'll always have that sin that they just say, God, I give that to you. But they can start mentally going, God created a baby, and that baby is protected by Jesus. And as we move them there, on the last day, we kind of have a celebration of life service for that baby. And on the first day, I remember this. I remember a lady was there, and of course, they come in very apprehensive. They're going, is this a cult? You know, what is this? You know, what are you going to do to us? We hear there's going to be this celebration of life, you know, this memorial service at the end. And I remember one lady, I'm sitting on the front porch, you know, we haven't even started the program yet. And she said, tell me about the memorial service, because she's worried about it, right? Because it sounds weird. Because, you know, that's a very hurtful place in her soul. And she's going, what does that look like? And I just have to look at her, and I have to tell her, you got to trust me here. I said, there is a process that you're going to go through the next 2 days. And if I told you right now what we're going to do on the last day, you wouldn't be able to understand it. There's a process that you have to go through to get to the point of healing. Can I tell you, when you start praying, oftentimes that's what it is. God could tell you right then, well, this is what you're going to have to go through, and this is why. But here's the truth. You wouldn't understand it if God told you. There's a process that God's taking you through. And sometimes that's a mourning process and a grieving process. Sometimes that's a healing process. Sometimes that's getting to the point where you have nothing left but God to pull you out of it. And if he told you that on day one, you go, I can't do that. But I want you to plant this in your mind. The moment you start praying, you can trust that God is active. He cares about where you're at. And the fact that he can't tell you yet what's going on, the fact that there is a spiritual warfare going on, does not negate this fact that he is active. Right now, if you're in the middle of something, I want you to know God loves you. He cherishes you. And he is actively doing things to bring you to a point where you can get through that. Here's the last point. It says, a hand touched me. I was trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. And now I'm going to drop down to 15. And it says, while he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face towards the ground and was speechless. Then the one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. And I said to him, to the one standing above me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe. So he looks at that angel, and you know, he looks at this emissary from God, you know, possibly Jesus, the Son of God, and he looks at him, and he said, I am so tired, and I can hardly breathe. And how am I going to get through what you've given me in this vision? And then it says in 18, again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed. Peace. Be strong now. Be strong. And when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. Wave after wave after wave, to the point that Daniel was down on his knees. And how do you get strength in that moment? How do you get through? Your strength will come from God. You got to get that one. Because everything inside you is going to say, I need to work harder. I need to figure this out in a different way. I can't be this weak right now, God. I've got to stand up on my own. I've got to get through this on my own. But the more we turn to ourselves, the farther we get away from the one who with one touch can completely strengthen us. Did you see in the Hebrew when you repeat something, it adds emphasis to it. He said, peace, be strong now, be strong. You know, it wasn't just a touch. Now you got enough strength to stand. It was, not only am I giving you all your strength, I'm giving you more strength. I don't know where you're at right now. But I know when I'm at that point, I've got to have this thought planted in my mind. The only way that I'm going to get through this is if God gives me strength. And I'm going to do everything I can to get as close to that finger that can reach down and touch me and give me overflowing strength to get through what I'm getting through. And if I'm tired and if I'm exhausted, and if I don't know how I'm going to get through it, I talked to someone this week, and they said, Blake, what does that verse mean that God won't give you more than you can handle? Because it sure does feel like it right now. I'm going, but that's the perfect position to be in. Because he doesn't say he's not going to give you more than you can handle by yourself. He says he's not going to give you more than... It's actually a tempted version. He's not going to tempt you with more, but it's that thought. Is if in that moment, you may not have anything left in the tank, but one touch, and he's actively already getting to that point where he's ready to touch you. Sometimes it's prayer. Sometimes it's scripture. Sometimes it's music. Sometimes it's the body of God. But so often, it's just at that moment where you cry out and you say, God, I've got nothing left. God says, that's it. That's where I needed you. Here's everything you need. We've got to humble ourselves. Say, God, you love me. You're already working for me. Why in the world am I trying to do this on my own? This was thousands of years ago. Someone was going through exactly what you're going through now. And guys, that's not easy. It's not easy. But after he did that, the next chapter is God kind of telling him, here's what's going to happen now. You're ready now. You're ready to move forward. And maybe you're fighting to get to that point. And I just asked this week, contemplate those three things. God loves me. God's already working. And when it's time, God's going to give me the strength, and I can hang on till then. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just want to just thank you this morning. I'm just thinking, God, as you look into this room, how much you love each person here. Can't even contemplate that, God. You are love. You created us and you sacrificed for us, God. So, God, right now I pray for me and I pray for every person in this room to dig into our trust in you and, God, to just cry out to you every day as a loving God. God, as you bring us through whatever trials you place in front of us, God, that we would be closer to you. God, that we would have that hope just stirred up into us that one day we're going to walk into eternity, be able to see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. So guys, right now, we're going to enter into a time of prayer. If you need anybody to pray for you, I'll be down front. Our deacons are here. We'd love to pray for you. Maybe God has something specific that you're dealing with that you just need another voice. I'd love to be that. As always, during this time, if God is stirring you to join our church, we're just a whole bunch of people in here who's trying to do as much as we can to love God and to tell our community about it and to share that grace. We'd love for you to be a part of our body. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today, as those waves hit you and you go, I don't trust God, and I don't know that God loves me, and I don't understand that, but I want to. I would love to tell you how Jesus died for your sins so that you could have an eternal relationship with the Creator of the universe. How he took everything that you've ever done wrong and placed it on Jesus' shoulders, and took his beautiful righteousness and placed it on your shoulders, and died on the cross to pay the price so that he could embrace you and call you precious. If you want to know more about that, I'd love to talk to you about that too. During this time, just you can sing, you can pray, you can come down front. It's just an open time.